Harry, Michael said. He reached back, drew a rolled-up thermal blanket from behind the truck's front seat and tossed it to me. I caught it and nodded my thanks, with the cold already starting to chew at my belly. That left me and Mouse in the back of the truck, both of us soaking wet in the middle of winter, in the middle of a blizzard. The cold moved from my belly to my chest, and I curled up into a ball because I didn't have much choice in the matter. Magic wasn't an option. My palm-sized ball of flame wouldn't get along well with the back of a moving truck, especially given how much I was already shaking. I wanted to get warm, not set myself on fire.
Sometimes chivalry sucks,
I growled to Mouse, teeth chattering. My dog, whose thick winter coat wasn't much good after it'd gotten a good soaking, leaned against me as hard as I leaned against him, underneath the rough blanket, while the cab of the truck heated up nicely, its windows fogging. I felt like a Dickens character. I thought about explaining that to Mouse, just to occupy my thoughts, but he was suffering enough without being forced to endure Dickens, even by proxy. So we made the trip in miserable, companionable silence. There might have been emergency lights going by us. I was too busy enjoying the involuntary rhythmic contractions of every muscle cell in my freaking body to notice. 30 seconds into the trip, I was fairly certain that I was going to black out and wake up 500 years in the future, but as it turned out, I had to endure only a miserable 20 minutes or so before Michael pulled up outside my apartment. Both vehicle doors opened to the weary but authoritative ring of Lucio's voice. Get him to the door while he can still let us in through his wards. I'm fine, I said, rising. Only it came out sounding more like, and when I tried to stand up, I all but fell out of the truck. Michael caught me, and Kincaid moved quickly to help him lift me to the ground. I dimly felt one of Kincaid's hands enter my jacket pocket and turn it out empty. Son of a bitch, he said, grinning. I knew it. Lucio emerged from the truck's cab, carrying the entirely limp form of the archive draped over one hip. The girl's arms and legs flopped loosely, her mouth hung open in sleep, and her cheeks were bright pink. Get up, Dresden, she stated. Her voice was firm, but though warmed by the trip, she was still nearly as damp as she had been at the station, and I saw her buckle as the cold sank its teeth into her.
Hurry.
I moved my feet in a vague shuffle, and remembered somewhere that when you walked, you moved them alternately. This improved our progress considerably. We reached a door, and someone said something about dangerous wards. No kidding, I thought. I've got some wards on my place that'll fry you to greasy spots on the concrete, but you should see the ones guard can do. Lucio snapped something to me about the wards, and I thought she looked cold. I had a fire at my place, which she could probably use. I opened the door for her, the way you're supposed to for a lady, but the damn thing was stuck until Michael shoved it open with his shoulder and muttered something disparaging about amateur work. Then everything got sort of muddled, and my arms and legs hurt a lot. I ended up thinking, man, my couch feels nice. Mouse snuffled at my face and then all but squashed me as he laid his head and most of his upper body across mine. I thought about chewing him out for it, but opted for sleep on my wonderful couch instead. Blackness ensued. I woke up to a room illuminated only by the light from my fireplace. I was toasty, though my fingers and toes throbbed uncomfortably. There was a gentle weight pressing down on me that proved to be virtually every blanket I owned. The deep, slow, steady sound of my dog's breathing whispered from the rug in front of the couch, and one of my hands was lying on the rough, warm, dry fur of Mouse's back. Water trickled nearby. Lucio sat on a footstool in front of the fire, facing the flames. My teapot hung on its latch over the fire. A basin of steaming water sat upon the hearth,